This week on Inside the Pocket, we're talking about things that we've been up to this week. We got the updates from the week two NFL games. We also got some NHL news coming your way, some wow stories of the week, what we would do if we were president, our conspiracy theories, and some shower thoughts, as well as whatever the fuck we think about talking about in between there. Let's go.
Welcome to Inside the Pocket. It is Austin here with you as always, and with me is Gavin.
What's up?
Oh boy, do we have a show for you today. So many things happened this week, and we have so many NFL stories to get on that we're just so hyped to just get into and tell you guys about. But Gavin, this week, what were you up to?
We're building some stairs.
We definitely did do some stair building.
Out of the back of my house, and it's a lot more complicated than I thought. Literally, the whole first day we spent on it was just us doing math.
I really wasn't involved on the first day because I was lazy. Decided to stay home until you kind of fuck yourself.
But it's whatever. We got it like, I don't know, 2/3 of the way done. We got the hard part done. The thinking is the hardest part. Now we just got to screw shit together.
After this podcast, actually, we're going to start putting some actual steps down. We have the base all built up, so we got fun stuff there. Shout out to Dad. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to our dad.
He's 57 years old.
And shout out to him for banging our mom and having us.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for that awesome guy, you wouldn't be listening to this right now. So you should be grateful.
Yeah, go ahead and just type in a happy birthday to us and we'll let him know you said it.
Another thing I wanted to talk about was we were playing Madden on Saturday night.
Yes, we were.
That's our new thing is we play Madden on Saturday night, get in a little party chat and watch some of the college football. But while we were playing, Austin was looking for a defensive tackle for his team.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Aaron Darnold.
Which he is a defensive tackle player. However, in Madden, he's listed as a right end.
Based on the position he was playing at the end of the Rams season last year due to injuries, they moved some of their players around. However, it's kind of dumb that Madden locks players into those positions. However, Austin, you could trade for him and then go into edit a player and make him a defensive tackle, and that would adjust the stats accordingly. But it's still dumb that they don't just make him a defensive tackle.
I could do that, or I could draft anyone in the world that I want and go into edit player and just make their stats stacked as fuck on my side.
Yeah.
And I don't, because I respect the game. So.
Yeah, but literally changing a guy from a position that he's not to a position that he is isn't really cheating.
I'm just saying, the game says he's a right end, I'm putting him at right end. Even though I know he's a defensive tackle, that's where he's supposed
to be.
There's
a difference between breaking the rules and cheating and doing and fixing somebody else's mistake.
I suppose, because Madden even installs Aaron Darnold as a defensive tackle in the mutt.
Yeah.
So they realize that's his position.
But then they have different cards. In Mutt, they have, I looked further into it, they have right end cards and defensive tackle cards for him.
Right. So. By the way, Mutt is the Madden Ultimate Team on Madden for those of you who don't play Madden. So when we say Mutt, you know what we're talking about.
Word. We also uploaded our first What's Up Wednesday, although it wasn't on a Wednesday, and I spelt Wednesday wrong.
Wow, you're dumb as fuck.
I am. Spelling isn't my strong point. And so we're going to be adjusting some of those, but you should be sure and go to our YouTube channel and check that out. Let us know what you think of that. It's kind of just going to be a midweek what's been up in between podcasts. Go over some of the late Sunday night games since we recorded this around midday on Sunday. We'll go over the Sunday night games as well as the Monday games and kind of just talk about those. That way you don't have to wait a whole week for it.
We'll come up with a bunch of funny names for me. We got What's Up Wednesday. It could be Funny Thoughts Thursday or Fuck It Friday. Whatever day we decide to put it out. We're not really putting that on a standard schedule, but it's something we are going to be doing in the middle of the week at some point in between podcasts.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for that. Jumping into some of our NFL stuff right now, the Bengals beat the Ravens Monday night, and AJ Green had 3 touchdowns on 3 receptions in the first half, so I want to give him a big shout out because he is on my fantasy team. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, that was a big showing by AJ Green. I mean, I was watching the game and just, that's the thing, when you start doing fantasy and you're doing it for so many years, like somebody like me, I'm now on my 9th year of playing fantasy football, watching a player and just see him get 3 touchdowns in the first half, I don't even think about the game that's happening anymore. I'm going, AJ Green is literally raping whoever, like, he's facing right now in fantasy. Like, the game doesn't matter.
And I've even gotten to the point in Madden when I'm playing it, I'll literally be playing with people, and in my head I'm just calculating, like, man, imaginary people in the universe of Madden would be getting so many fantasy points with this guy right now.
You know what they should do in Madden to further your franchise mode or your, like, created player mode, your superstar mode, is have that incorporated. You know how on Madden it has, like, the tweets, like, it says that NFL, they should be like, look to put such and such in your fantasy lineup, because the NFL actually does do that. If they incorporated that in Madden, like, if you're playing normal franchise mode and say you're throwing, like, for me, I'm the Colts. So say T.Y. Hilton has 5 touchdowns in 3 games, it'd be a cool thing for it to probably be like, look at T.Y. Hilton to be a main target for Andrew Luck this week.
Or if one of you guys gets injured, it comes out and be like, take him out of your fantasy lineup, yep. He's injured. Or if you happen to just have a few games, you know, I have a few games where maybe I don't throw to Julio as much because I play as the Falcons and I dominate my run game, or I use my tight ends a little more. Yep. It could be like, oh, Falcons are favoring tight ends in running game. Maybe think about switching out Julio for a different pass every offense that's targeting a specific wide receiver.
Yeah. So EA, look at us to make some little fake tweets you can go ahead and throw in your game. Gavin, you just mentioned having a player get hurt and then changing the dynamic of a game. For your Falcons, Devontae Freeman going out, Coleman showing up pretty big, huh?
Yeah, he stepped up big this week. The Falcons won today's game against Carolina 31-24. He definitely stepped up, had a pretty big showing for fantasy. Matt Ryan also stepped up a lot with 2 rushing touchdowns. I thought it was pretty ironic. You have a guy like Matty Ice scoring 2 rushing touchdowns against a team with a very renowned rushing quarterback
in Cam Newton.
And he doesn't score at all.
No.
So it was such a mix of emotion because I started Cam in my fantasy league.
But you also have.
I also have Matt Ryan on the team. So I went with Cam Newton because he's kind of like, I favor him a little for fantasy because he gets those rushing yards and passing yards.
Which I would say that's the right decision to have.
And I had Funchess on the team, so I'd be doubling down on points. However, Matt Ryan definitely stepped up this week. Should have started him, but hindsight's 2020. Matt Ryan, it was such a split type of emotion that I was experiencing because I'm obviously happy that Atlanta goes ahead and picks up a nice win in a divisional matchup against Carolina. However, when Cam's not producing as much in fantasy, but he did end up just getting a lot of plays at the end of the game. So I think he was only behind Ryan by like 2 or 3 points by the end of the game. So that's not too bad. Also, some of the games that we saw today. The Colts won today. How do you feel about that?
Colts did finally pull off a win. I'm really happy, but just like you, I had that split thought in my mind because I actually chose the Colts to lose. I did not think the defense would be able to hold up to the run game that the Washington Redskins had with Adrian Peterson. However, they pretty much shut him down to nothing.
How do you feel as a fan when I picked the Colts to win today and you as a fan said that they weren't going to win and it turned out that I was right?
Well,
you obviously got to be happy that they won, but I mean, am I a better Colts fan than you?
I'm ecstatic that the Colts won. No, you're not a better Colts fan than me. I would still say I'm the better Colts fan because I was the one to realize where the Colts have weakness. Most people would bet with their heart in a situation. I did not. I went against my heart and I went with my gut feeling. I ended up being wrong, but in most notions, if you bet with your heart on every single bet that you go ahead and take, you're probably going to lose because you're putting way too much personal interest in your bets. And I went ahead and pulled those away and said, you know what, Austin, where you think that your team is just the best golden thing on the planet, you're probably wrong, and that they'll just disappoint you. However, this week they did not disappoint me, and they were able to overcome, and it will definitely change my thoughts later in the season to see how well they shut down the run game, which is where I thought the Indianapolis Colts were weak.
Speaking of disappointments, Cleveland Browns just can't get a break as they lose their game 18-21 against New Orleans. With a chance to gain the lead towards the end, a few kickoffs that their kicker missed 3 field goals this game.
Not good for the brand.
Their kicker has to be in a bad spot.
I would be very surprised if he's still on the team next week because not only did he miss 3 in this game, he also missed a game-winning field goal against the Steelers last week in the overtime, which led it to be just a tie game. So that's 4 missed field goals in 2 games for the Browns kicker, who could have sealed the deal in both of those games.
Yeah, he's had multiple chances to win the games for his team in the past 2 weeks. Lets them both down, obviously tying last week, giving up the loss to New Orleans with this week. But also speaking of ties and missing field goals, Minnesota field goal kicker misses their game-winning shot at beating the Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings and Green Bay Packers tie. 2 weeks in a row, we got ties. Minnesota and Green Bay ties 29-29 this week in overtime. When's the last time the two ties happened in 2 weeks?
I don't know. That's what I was going to say. I'm not certain when the last time 2 weeks in a row we had a tie in a week. But if we keep getting this many ties in a week, soon enough, we're going to have a knot. And it's just going to be a big problem in the NFL.
Yeah, this is going to be like the year of the ties. And when it comes time for playoff seeding and stuff like that, people are going to be like, I don't know what the fuck to do. All these teams have ties.
Yeah, so now there's four teams in the league right now that all have a tie on their record. I would like to see what the most amount of ties for a single season amongst the league is.
And then do you think any of the teams will have multiple ties in the season?
If any team is going to have multiple, you know, I would have said week one, the Browns, I could see tying again because they almost tied this week. They almost went to overtime again.
They only lost by a field goal.
Yeah, it almost went to OT again. If there's a team that's going to repeat a tie, I would say it's the Browns because they're finally showing enough emotion to get into the game. But it seems like they only get into the game in the late stages. Just like earlier in the game, the Browns were losing, but then they had a deep ball that got them to possibly take the lead, but then they missed the field goal. So they ended up in a tied position and then ultimately lost the game. But the Browns are really the only team in the league that I think will be repetitively like coming from behind. And if they happen to tie it up, go into overtime, and then that's when they'll be playing with most intensity. So I see them possibly as a team in the NFL to have multiple ties in the season.
And also Cleveland has made some improvements. Their defense is looking good right now. You know, between their game with New Orleans and their game in Pittsburgh weren't terrible. But it's just like they still have that Cleveland bad luck.
And one thing that happened with Cleveland just recently is Josh Gordon was supposedly released. However, he did not get released, and now they're talking about trading him.
Apparently, there's five teams in talks right now trying to do it. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, why don't they just wait till he gets released and then pick him up off waivers? Well, then he gets to negotiate his contract wherever he wants to go. If you pick him up before that, you get to lock him into the contract that he already currently has, and so the team gets a little more bargaining power. But if he does go to waivers or free agency, he gets to kind of be the one in control of where he goes and how much money he makes.
Now, let me ask you this, Gavin. With the free agency, if you got Josh Gordon and Dez Bryant, who's still in the free agents, and you're a team in needs of wide receiver, which one are you going to be looking at, Dez or Josh Gordon?
I think I'm probably going to look at Dez a little more just because Josh Gordon does have that problematic past right now. I mean, both of them have had their issues in the past, but right now I feel like Dez Bryant is the one that's kind of just sitting waiting for the right offer, and Josh Gordon still seems to kind of be in the middle of his own issues. And so if I were going to pick one up, it would probably be Dez Bryant. But right now, if you're a team that could look past the off-field issues, there's a couple good wide receivers out there for teams to pick up.
I will say it's surprising to see that the Browns are going to let Josh Gordon go after last week of him getting the late game touchdown to tie it up with the Steelers. For them to, and I think he was late to a Saturday practice or Saturday meeting, and correct, they said that ended all ties, like they can't put up with this anymore. And I understand that from a professional point of view, that is something they need to be, you know, on time for and be there at if you're at the professional level in the NFL. However, a player like Josh Gordon, knowing he's a problematic player, knowing what he does on the field compared to what he does off the field, I think you should also, as a head coach or a team, understand what that player is bringing to your team, even though he doesn't miss. Like, Josh Gordon wasn't on the field today. If Josh Gordon was on the field today, I'd say the Browns win this game.
And that's an interesting take. It all just comes down to what teams are willing to put up with and what they're willing. You know, it's one of those things. If Josh Gordon was Odell Beckham or a player like that that has these issues, you probably let him go a little bit easier than you have a guy like Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon obviously isn't a terrible wide receiver. He can do amazing things, but it all comes down to what the team is willing to put up with. And one thing could lead to another. You could have other players start noticing the things that they're putting up with from Josh Gordon. And then eventually you could have a whole slew of players on your team also involved in issues such as that. And then you lose the entire team. So I could see why the Browns are putting their foot down with them. It's going to be a hit for them to lose him at the wide receiver spot. But I could see either of these players still finding homes in the next year or two.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see how it plays out. It's interesting, though, that they're on the free agency and you haven't seen a lot of people offer them jobs, because you and I talked about earlier, in the year that it would become a running back dominant league this year, based on the fact of the helmet rule, even though we've only seen one penalty really called on that. Yeah, it
seems like
they've
really pulled that down a lot since the preseason.
Even during the Falcons Panthers game today, Cam Newton went for a run and took a slide, and he took a big hit from Kazee right to the helmet, and he ended up getting ejected from the game. But even league officials said that he was ejected due to unnecessary roughness and not necessarily the lowering the helmet call, although it was pretty blatant that his helmet made full contact with Cam Newton's chin, came up right under the face guard. And so we'll just have to see with these wide receivers. I could easily see it going either way. If either of them don't get picked up by another team this year, totally understandable. But if they do, they're good players. I could see why a team would be willing to put up with some bullshit in order to add a player to their team. Maybe the Bills or a team that's going to be struggling this year. They might just go for the fuck it. Let's just deal with it and see if this could help our organization.
So the Steelers lost, and they don't have Le'Veon Bell still. The Chiefs ended up overcoming them with Patrick Mahomes throwing 6 touchdowns in this goddamn game. And that makes Patrick Mahomes the leader all time for most touchdowns in his first 2 games as a professional, with 4 last week and 6 this week, equaling 10. So my question here is, if Le'Veon Bell was on the field for the Steelers, do you think that the Chiefs defense would have had a harder time dealing with Bell? However, the Pittsburgh Steelers running back still scored on them. Do you think Bell would have put a bigger impact than the current running back they have in?
Obviously, Bell is an offensive weapon. He could do things that not many other players in the league are capable of doing. Connor obviously has showed that he is capable of doing some amazing things. No discredit to the Pittsburgh line. But with the kind of production that's coming out of the current Pittsburgh backfield, I could easily see them getting saying, we're all right with this, you know, and letting Le'Veon Bell go by the wayside. If I were Pittsburgh, I probably would at this point, because they're not doing terrible. They have things going on. I don't think the running back position is Pittsburgh's issue in their losses this year. Well, loss and tie against the Browns, which to me, tying the Browns, you should consider a loss at this current stage.
Right.
So I could see that the Pittsburgh Steelers has a lot other issues other than the fact that Le'Veon Bell's not playing. And really, if you make your team literally come down to one player like that, you do have issues in my team, in your opinion. Even if you are winning, it's such a gamble to rely solely on one player in one position for your team to win, because then you get into a situation that Pittsburgh's in now, and you find yourself tying with the Bengals, and just they're winless this season so far. Granted, it's only week 2, but
now, the big story is that everything's about Le'Veon Bell here. It's in the Steelers. Now, look at this statistic. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 452 yards, which is a shit ton of yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was 39 for 60 on his pass attempts, and they still lose the game.
But it's hard to compete when you have Patrick Mahomes over on Kansas City going 23 of 28 for 326 yards, 6 passing touchdowns, and only 1 sack, 0 interceptions.
That's where I'm coming at you. Do you think the real story is actually the Pittsburgh defense and not Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell is taking the light from it? People are shying away from the Pittsburgh defense. You're not seeing a lot of words coming out about how bad the Pittsburgh defense is because they're so worried about having Le'Veon Bell on their field.
And, you know, they gave up 21 points against the Browns. You know, they gave up 42 points against the Chiefs today. You could say that this is the Pittsburgh defense obviously falling short, even though they did score 37 points tonight and 21 against the Browns last week. I mean, that's a lot of points to be giving up. You know, 63 points in 2 games is a lot of points to be giving up amongst teams. I would obviously blame the Pittsburgh defense a lot more than I would any issues that are stemming from Le'Veon Bell's situation.
Right, and that's where I'm coming from. And from a normal NFL player standpoint, if your team is scoring 37 points a game, not that the Steelers have, but they scored 37 points in this previous game against the Chiefs, that is a number that should win you a game. 37 points is a really high amount to score. And for you to lose still, I'd say that's a defensive problem, not an offensive problem.
And I agree. So we'll obviously have to keep an eye on Pittsburgh's defense in the next couple games. Probably don't look to start them anytime soon in your fantasy leagues. And we'll just see what happens. The New York Jets fall short to the Miami Dolphins 12-20 this week. Austin's obviously celebrating. Todd Gurley is making a lot of points for him in fantasy league right now. But back to what I was saying, Jets fall short of Miami 12-20. Sam Darnold throws for 334 yards, one passing touchdown, two interceptions. He gets sacked three times. Still not a bad performance for a rookie. With the kind of position that the Jets are in, I feel like the Jets should just be taking any wins they happen to pick up in stride. And if they happen to lose, I mean, they kind of realize where they're at right now.
I mean, he was still over 50% for his completions for attempts, and he still threw for 334 yards. I can't really complain from a quarterback standpoint. Like I said, if you're getting that many completions and that many yards, he only had one touchdown, but maybe the team should be getting themselves in better field position to score. It's not only necessarily the quarterback's fault, and Miami wasn't really a team that they really should have struggled with. I think they should have really taken Miami over. I think they should have blew their doors off like they did last week at Detroit.
Yes. Jumping on to other quarterbacks that are making a big splash. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 27 of 33 for 402 yards. 2 weeks in a row, he's thrown for over 400 yards. Four passing touchdowns, one interception and a sack. Him and Patrick Mahomes are on fire.
They're the only two quarterbacks ever for 2 weeks in a row to throw for four touchdowns in their first two games of a season.
Pat Mahomes breaking the record. And one of the crazy things is if you line their names up, Ryan Fitzpatrick Mahomes.
Oh, maybe there's some weird psychedelic shit going down.
Some zodiac lining up shit that's just
maybe this is an early conspiracy theory. Do you think that Ryan Fitzpatrick Mahomes is one person? Just split bodies?
They were conceived in the same womb, or they're aliens and they're like, they share some genes, or they're distantly related.
Yeah.
And they're linked by that.
Yeah, by the name Patrick. Or maybe just Pat, the name Patrick is on an uprise. Maybe it's supposed to be a big name now.
And Patrick McAfee will soon be the number one podcast in the world.
Yeah, you can see that coming up on the uprise. There you go, just, Pat.
I mean, maybe number two behind us, but you know,
well, yeah, you know,
we're coming.
We're
up.
Like 50th behind us.
Maybe add a few zeros behind that number.
500,000.
Philadelphia loses to Tampa Bay, obviously 21-27. When you get a quarterback throwing up those kinds of numbers, I mean. Do we think Philadelphia has a chance for another playoff run right now? They are just 1-1. I know it's just week two. A couple questions I want to throw your way. Do you see Philadelphia right now? Do we have any kind of timeline, Austin, that you know of for when Wentz is supposed to come back?
I've not seen like a set time for Wentz to come back. However, I'm still not putting folds down because this week he was 35 for 48 with 334 yards. Still a good showing for a quarterback. You can't really put him down. Even though they weren't getting a lot of touchdowns through the air, they definitely got a couple rushing touchdowns to ended up at 21 points. However, when your quarterback's throwing for 300 yards, as I've said for many a years, if your quarterback reaches the 300 mark and you should have a couple touchdowns on the board, you should be winning that game. If your quarterback's moving the ball that well for you, you need your run game to step up or your defense to step up. And if you're going to be throwing for 300 yards and still lose the game, then it's either on your run game or your defense. Your passing is doing just fine.
Now, do you think there's situations in that where it's not necessarily the defense, but the team you're facing also has just such an amazingly skilled offense that there's only so much you can expect the defense to do?
There are a lot of names on Tampa Bay. And especially with DeSean Jackson having a fucking highlight of a random year late in his career. I mean, he's leading in receiving yards, I believe, for Tampa Bay. So that's just something that comes along that you can't expect. Just like Ryan Fitzpatrick coming out the gate, fucking holding my dick, passing everywhere. That's just something you're not ready to be able to handle. That's what I think about Tampa Bay. And now that Ryan Fitzpatrick has won two games in a row with four touchdowns in both games. We talked about last week about there being a quarterback controversy. There's definitely controversy. When Winston comes back, I don't think he's going to be taking over the helm for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Even if Ryan Fitzpatrick loses next week, I don't think Winston will be starting week four.
When you got a player throwing up record numbers in their first couple weeks, it's kind of hard to justify taking him back out of the game. I know you look at a year or so ago when Matt Hasselbeck came in for the Colts, goes 5-0. Andrew Luck comes back, still obviously suffering from injuries. you know, and the season kind of goes by the wayside. But when you get a guy coming out as strong as this, dominating the way he is, it might be, maybe even we see a reverse of the Philadelphia issue last year. You see Ryan Fitzpatrick carry him all the way through the fucking regular season, and then maybe Winston comes in and dominates down for the postseason.
And that might be exactly what the young quarterback needs. He's the pressure on the young quarterback to get them to the playoffs. That's a lot to get you there. But once you're in the playoffs, maybe he comes out hot as a bullet and he's ready to showcase that he can do playoffs. He can win big games. You put him in on the big games and he overcomes, just like we've talked about for a while now on multiple episodes of the podcast, a two quarterback set. You might get to where you have one quarterback who plays a regular season, but another one who comes in and does your division games or your playoff games or anything like that, that becomes like a high potential game. And they might be getting into it right now over there at Tampa Bay with Ryan Fitzpatrick coming out throwing guns heat. Winston might love that, just staying loose on the sideline and trying to be himself, and he'll come out whenever he's ready and whenever the team needs him to come out and perform well.
Similar to what we saw with Philadelphia, and now you have the Ravens possibly throwing that two quarterback set out there. You also look at how much people in the NFL and the game has changed itself. Players are getting bigger, stronger, more dominant. It may come to a point where quarterbacks in the NFL can only take so much. It'll come to a point where you do need two really good quarterbacks just to get you through one regular season of fucking football.
It happened in every other position. I mean, look at the wide receiver position. It really happened in the early 2000s. You look at a team like the Colts who had Marvin Harrison. He was dominant. But then they got Reggie Wayne. Then they just blew the doors off everybody because they had two elite wide receivers.
The Rams, when they had Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce.
Yeah, they blew the doors off everyone because they had two elite wide receivers early enough.
Chris Carter and Randy Moss.
Yep, same situation. Now you're getting that with the running backs. You're seeing teams like the Falcons who have Freeman and Coleman, and who's the third guy on the Falcons?
Ito Smith.
Yeah, and he showed up
quite a big showing today.
You're seeing that come about. I mean, you could really bring up the Steelers saying, what's the Steelers running back that's in right now?
I don't know his first name, but his last name's Connor.
Okay, Connor. And then you got Bell. When Bell comes back, even if he does come back and plays for the Steelers, I think you're going to see Connor out there quite a bit because he's shown that he's a running back deserving to run the ball. You have that over in Washington with Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson. So you're seeing multiple teams in the league have a two-back set. It's not going to be long before a team needs two elite wide receivers, two elite running backs, and possibly
two elite quarterbacks.
You're going to need a quarterback to play you through the regular season, and another one is going to get you through the playoffs and Super Bowl, or maybe an off a couple games, on a couple games quarterback set where you have two quarterbacks that come in and out multiple from each other.
The only other game we really have to cover right now, Tennessee beats Houston 20-17, but that was the most boring game I could possibly think of, and that's all we're going to touch on that. You have anything else NFL-wise you want to kind of go over?
Nothing right now other than Gurley is tearing shit up right now for the Rams. The Rams are currently winning 27-0 in the third quarter. At this point in the podcast, it could change by the end here, or when you listen, you'll obviously know the ending score of the game, but Austin here right now is hyped as fuck because Gurley is getting me some goddamn points.
Well, congratulations. Last time when we were watching some NCAA football while playing Madden, one of the only games I was really paying attention to was Mizzou versus Purdue. It was a back and forth game. Purdue ended up fucking blowing their chance at beating Mizzou by not calling a timeout with a minute 30 left and allowed Missouri to get a first down and just run the clock down all the way to 3 seconds to pick up a 15-yard field goal to win the game. It was a close game, but Twitter erupted since Mizzou played to win instead of covering the spread. Do you think coaches and players ever even keep it in mind? I know we've seen players in the past say fuck your fantasy league and they don't give a fuck about fantasy football, but it's not just fantasy football when it comes down to Vegas bets and odds and stuff like that. Do you think coaches and players even look at those and consider those when they're going out onto the field?
No.
Especially college players.
No, because one, it's illegal for them too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could look at it.
Yeah.
They can see what the lines are. They can't bet on it, obviously, but they can say, oh, this is what people are saying I'm going to do tonight. I could potentially either make people money or lose people money.
And for them to make a decision like that, I don't think they really give a shit what people are making and losing on every one of their games. I just think it's something they put by the wayside. They're just trying to score points. And I think that's the whole point, because when you're in football, if it comes to a point where you have multiple teams that are tied in record and it's coming to playoff time, they're going to look at it. How many points did this team score throughout the season? So I think it was the right move by Mizzou to score that field goal and go on the over because they're going to need those points later down the line. If there's another team in their division or in their area that is relatively close in points and they have the same record, it's going to come down to that, who goes to the playoffs or makes a certain bowl.
And at the end of the day, you've got an unranked Mizzou that I'm sure is trying to make a name for themselves. They got Tyler Locke, who's potentially going to be a Heisman candidate. They just want to win games at this point. They don't care about making other people money. Some of the other things we wanted to cover was defensive man Eric Carlson traded from the Senators to the Sharks, improving the Sharks' defensive line. Sharks are going to be a nice contender to see play against the Blues this year. However, I still think the Blues are going to be one of the hottest upgraded teams this year coming into the NHL season.
I agree that the Blues are going to be one of the high-tail teams in the league, but this is just not a trade I wanted to see going to San Jose. That's just not a team I wanted to have another weapon on, because San Jose, in their own right, are a great team, and they have a lot of things going for them, and they're just a stellar team. And for them to grab another player who's going to set them up for more points than they can even handle is just not a good sign for us here in St. Louis. I had one more NFL thing I wanted to get into.
All right, let's...
Vontae Davis. He went ahead and retired at halftime after losing 28-6.
He's like, guys,
I'm fucking done.
After six quarters of this fucking shit, I'm fucking out of here.
No,
I'd rather retire with my money than make a little more money and look like a goddamn fool.
Now, Vontae Davis was released by the Colts. I'm a big Vontae Davis fan. He was one of my favorite cornerbacks in the NFL, but it didn't work out for the Colts, so he went away and he got picked up by the Bills. Two games into the season, not even, a game and a half into the season, he says, yeah, fuck this shit, I'm out. So, what does that make you think for the Bills? Do you think that team is just giving up on itself, that they have a player who's signed for over $1 million to play the game, and he's like, yeah, you know what? Fuck this game. I don't even need that $4 million. I'm just here to do shit, and I'm fucking done.
It's one thing to lose the locker room. It's one thing when you literally have players quitting their career mid-game in only week two.
Yeah, so Bills, you're up for a rough season. I'm sorry to hear it. I'm also really upset to see that Vontae Davis is retiring in this kind of situation. I was hoping he'd finish out the season. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's one of the best corners that played the game in the recent years. But sucks to suck, I guess. And
look forward to Hard Knocks, the Bills edition next season on ESPN.
Yeah, we're calling it here. The Bills are going to be the next Hard Knocks.
So, dropping back into some NHL, the Capitals returned to camp with no regrets on their postseason partying. When asked about some of it, TJ Oshie commented that if they go down in history as being the team that partied too hard, well, who gives a fuck? We won a cup. And I like that attitude. What do you think you'd better be remembered for, a Patriots-type dynasty, or being the team that fucking got it done and won a cup and then partied so goddamn hard that they just wrecked their team franchise?
Well, I tell you what, there's something to be said about it, because the Capitals haven't won in a long time and they haven't got a cup in a long time. So for them to finally get it and party as hard as they did, I don't give a fuck what they do for the next 2, 3, 4 seasons, because they finally got it done. They did what everybody said they couldn't do, and they're done. You can't really come at them anymore and say they can't win the big game, because they can. Why did they not in the last couple years after they won it? Because they partied so fucking hard and didn't give a fuck, because they finally shut up the haters and they did what they had to do.
Because they're basically dying of alcohol poisoning at this point.
Right. And I would actually rather be a part of a team like that. Like a team like the Patriots, who come out every season and they're contenders and they make it to the Super Bowl at least once every 2 years, and they win every three they win, let's say. So sure, you're going to be one of the greatest teams remembered of all time, but that's all-time legacy. Think about your personal life. When you win the cup and you're just so close with those guys, do you want to go, all right, let's get back to work? Or do you want to go, let's fucking celebrate and remember what we did?
No, and it just depends on the type of culture that you want to be around. You hear all kinds of people talking about how the Patriots culture is very hard, strict. The Lions may lose their fucking culture because of it trying to be implemented by Matt Patricia. But the way that they've done it in New England for so long, it's been successful and they've won all these games. So players say, I'll put up with the fucking tough bullshit just to be a winner. But then you have a team like Detroit that does it and you don't win. That's the quickest way to lose a team. So if you have a team like the Capitals here in the NHL that win it, and then they just go off and just party their fucking asses off. It's one of those things that's like, we've wanted this for a long time. We wanted to get it to Ovi before he retired, and we did it, so now let's just fucking have ourselves a life.
That's the biggest thing for me, is you have a guy on your team who's been there for so long, is the name of your franchise with Ovechkin, for him to finally get his cup. Until he retires, I don't think they need to worry about even making the playoffs. Because yeah. He got it. That's
this
all
whole
you
year,
needed.
They should play, but they should really just... Like, you talk about a hangover year, this should literally be a hangover year where you got players puking on the ice because they're still just partying.
Yeah, they're still just excited
like,
to be the ones
who won. We won this cup. Let's fight.
Yeah, that's what I think they should do. Like, if they came out, they would become one of my top favorite teams if they came out and didn't give a fuck this season. Because they won it last year. They did what they had to do. Ovechkin has worked so hard for so long, he finally gets it. I'd love to see Ovechkin just be like... I'm done. I'm just going to finish out my contract and get out of here.
Or can you imagine how fucking sick it would be where you have a team like the Patriots that have been so hard knocks in the NFL to get it done, and you have a team like the Capitals come out. I feel like the Penguins are in a similar position to where the Patriots are.
Yeah.
But then you have the Capitals come back. They were the big party guys. They fucking got it done. Don't give a shit. Make the most headlines of any team partying after the cup. And then fucking win it again.
If they came out and win it again, they would be heroes. Because I would never stop drinking. Because that would mean that no amount of alcohol can slow you down for what you can't achieve.
The only thing that I can hope is that St. Louis loses their fucking shit if we win a cup. Hopefully this year or ever. I feel like St. Louis is going to be nuts.
I'm going to have to call off work for like a good 2 weeks because I'm going to be just bending in nothing.
Possibly in jail.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to not wear anything but my custom Blues jersey. If we went to the Cup and won, I would literally just run around town naked with my Blues jersey on with a beer in my hand. I'd get arrested at least 3 times.
Yeah, easily. But that kind of covers everything that we had to talk about on the sports end of the podcast. So those of you that aren't huge sports heads and just want to listen to a couple guys talk some fucking random bullshit, let's go ahead and jump into one of our favorite segments, and we hope it's one of yours, the Wow Story of the Week.
Wow.
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 Okay, so for my first Wow Story of the Week, I have a story about an LA football coach that was fired after players spiked the water with sex enhancement drugs.
So you got a bunch of boys with boners here?
Sounds like it. A high school football coach in Los Angeles was fired for not telling parents that two students allegedly spiked the water at the team practice with male enhancement drugs. Louis Barrares was fired August 7th as the coach from Berenstain High School. Or was it Berenstain?
Ooh, some Mandela effect.
Varsity football team in Hollywood. Nice place to play football. After he was investigated for an alleged July 12th incident where two students put drugs in the JV's team's water, reported by the Los Angeles Times. An investigation by the LA Unified School District was discovered that the coach didn't bother to tell the school officials, parents of the players, anybody really that might want to know this, that they had possibly ingested contaminated water until 2 weeks after. No parent complaints were received. School police were not involved. No testing of the alleged water took place, as they got rid of it by the time it was actually announced, and none of the kids got sick. District spokeswoman said that the investigators did not find evidence in the water, so I guess nothing's really coming out of it besides the fact that the dude got fired. So far, it doesn't look like that there was no enhancement on the team's on-field performance, as they're currently 1-3, but maybe the fact that you got a bunch of fucking hormonally infused kids with boners.
Surprised they're not just humping the defense.
Yeah, they can't really concentrate on football because they all have boners. They're just thinking about jerking their dicks and fucking shit.
Yeah, no, I definitely see where...
Obviously, they played themselves. Officials said that he committed a number of violations, including failure to secure a practice permit, insufficient vetting an assistant coach, and allowing players to practice before they received academic eligibility. So I don't even think it was so much this. The guy had a lot of other bullshit, according to the Huffington Post that put out this article. But
he was definitely giving the term going along a different meaning.
Going hard, going deep.
Yep. Anything like that?
A long shot.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely trying to get these boys' dicks hard so they could go ahead and hit some people even harder.
Yeah. So what do you got for your wow story?
Well, I have a little wow that I want to go ahead and shout out if you are a vapor out there. The Vapor Store has officially opened its new store.
Which store is that?
That's the store off Mexico Road in O'Fallon, Missouri.
Nice.
And if you go there right now and you go ahead and buy yourself a set of coils or juices, you can go ahead and get yourself a nice free sample of another 60 millimeter to 100 millimeter or milliliter. Sorry, I'm thinking about guns. Milliliter bottle of juice for free.
Yeah, we actually went in and got some coils today, and we got some free juices. We're going to try them out. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit during the beer review, what we think of those flavors. But be sure and stop by either of the vape shops, the vape stores locations, one in Lake St. Louis and now one off Mexico Road in O'Fallon, Missouri, right next to Quick Trip. They got all the mods you need. The new store has tons of new mods in there, some badass ones. They got new tanks.
You were talking about getting a new mod for yourself, and we were just looking at them while we were in there.
They got some badass gold-covered ones with some pretty awesome designs and stuff like that. They got some badass tanks. And like we said, go in today, get yourself a free juice. You need some coils, might as well get a free juice with it. Try it out. Let them know what you think. They got a bunch of brands, all different flavors, so be sure and check them out.
Go ahead and let them know that Inside the Pocket or the people that sent you there, because that's good for us.
And it'll be good for them because you're coming there because we sent you there. And then if they know we sent you there, then they'll help us. And if you like listening to the podcast, it'll help us provide more badass shit for you to listen to.
Yeah. And eventually a promo code will be in the works. We're still in the works on that. We haven't got it 100% down, but I have gotten the go that it is going to be a thing. We just haven't decided when we're going to go ahead and launch. But once we do, I will let you know. Now, let me tell you about my actual wow story. Right next to the Vapor Store is a Quick Trip.
Oh.
Now, did you know Quick Trip used to sell its own brand of beer?
I did, because I'm the one that told you about it.
You definitely did tell me about it. Now, Quick Trip used to sell its own brand of beer called Quittin' Time.
Which is a badass name for a beer.
That is a baller fucking name. And the original Quittin' Time came in normal Quittin' Time and Quittin' Time Light, which I would assume it's more like a domestic style beer. However, I do not know because they no longer sell this beer.
They haven't for years.
They also had multiple seasonal beers. They had a summer, a winter, and a fall ale. So I'm really upset that they don't have these anymore, because as a podcast that reviews a beer, this would be a beer I would definitely have on. Like for a gas station singular beer. I would love for that to come back. They actually just mentioned it on their Twitter about like, what is your favorite Quick Trip branded product? Yeah,
it's like their 60th anniversary, and so they're actually giving away koozies for Quittin' Time, even though they don't sell it anymore.
So I would like for Quick Trip to bring back Quittin' Time, and if we can get enough people on here following us saying the same thing, it would be awesome to see if we could get Quick Trip to try and maybe possibly give us like a special batch so we can give it a review or get it back in stock or see what we could do, anything along those lines.
I think that would be pretty nice.
And that's my wild story. I just think that's wild that Quick Trip used to have a beer and now they're not selling it anymore and I really want it.
All right. Well, the last wild story that I have doesn't contain beer, doesn't contain football. It contains some spirits and some famous people. You may have heard of this guy, Post Malone. Recently been in the news. He had a private jet nearly crash. His Rolls Royce did crash and got totaled. And he was targeted by armed thieves. Well, before all this happened, TMZ has put out a video that him and Ghost Adventure star Zach Bagans, they investigated something known as the world's most haunted object. What could go wrong?
Yeah, nothing.
They tell everybody about the close encounter, that they went and checked out this object called the Diebuk Box. It's apparently Yiddish for malicious spirit, and it actually inspired the horror films The Possession. So that's kind of fucked up. But in this video, you can see the Zach guy take the case off of this item, and he touches it. And
like
he
physically?
He touches it, and then you see him like, Post is like trying to talk to him and he's just standing there like in a trance. Finally, Post like kind of pushes him off of it and the guy just kind of like sits there still in a trance, and all of a sudden you see him get scared, and then like Post jumps and they just run out of the room. So apparently what people are saying is, as this guy was holding this cursed or this haunted object, and Post grabbed him, that could be when either this Coast put a curse on them or possessed them in some way and is doing all this fucked up shit. But either way, you go around fucking with malicious fucking haunted shit. Obviously, some bad stuff's going to happen. So Post Malone may be cursed. It may only be a matter of time before it actually completes the job. But keep an eye out on Post Malone in the news for the next few days, because apparently he's got a vengeful spirit after him.
That sounds terrifying. As people used to play a Ouija board for fun, that sounds like something I would not want to be involved in at all, because the Ouija board used to scare the fuck out of me.
If I were Post, I would film it and get like an actual exorcist to come and try to like cleanse the spirit away.
Oh, absolutely. Like doing a hex on your house.
Yeah. Just let's get him in here. Let's see if we can't remove this shit and see if we can't just keep this life moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we're going to go ahead and jump right into our next segment, which is going to be what we would do if we were president of this United States.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, Austin, if the world were so fucked that it decided to elect you as the president of the United States, what would be one of the things that you implemented while you were there?
Well, as much as I know we're not a communist country, one thing that I think Russia has right is in Russia, they make you have a dash cam in your car. I think we need to bring that to the United States.
I don't think it could hurt.
I don't think it hurt at all. It would help for insurance claims. It would help know that you're being videotaped all the time on roads. So if you're causing problems, you can't really lie to your insurance and you can't be doing stupid shit all the time. But not only that, I think it would be a huge entertainment jump, because there's so many videos out there from dash cams in cars catching like ghosts or things falling out of the sky. Like when that meteor landed in Russia, a bunch of cars caught it on the dash cam driving by. I think in America it would be crazy, and I think it would help with like crime and shit. Like if there's cars and it's mandatory to have a dash cam in it, like drive-bys and stuff like that, if they find out who they think is accused of it, that camera in their car would be evidence of who did a drive-by or who did a shooting or who got shot. Or and if they didn't have it, well, there you go. There's another thing to give someone a ticket for.
I don't think that's a bad idea. If I were president, I got this idea after watching the season premiere of American Horror Story. So if you haven't checked that out, be sure and watch it. I would track the DNA from like Ancestry.com and 23andMe and all that. Mm-hmm. And I would set up a system where it tracks it. And if the world ended, whether it be like massive war or meteor hit and shit like that, and they were just scrambling, it would basically be a database of some of the best genetically and mentally gifted people in the world, and basically create a group of people that were all just badasses and start over with them and hope maybe we were just better the second time around.
No, I would like to think they already do that.
And I'm pretty sure they already do. I've read stories about there's like a satellite in space that has 1,000 samples of like very famous and athletically gifted and intelligent people in space. So like if aliens ever found it, they could like clone us or do some shit with it. But if they don't, if I were president, that'd be something that I basically said, like, look, we need to make sure if shit goes down, we don't just have a bunch of tards taking over the world again.
I know in Alaska, there's actually a vault that they have set up for plants. So, like, if there's certain species of plants that die, like, currently right now, there are, like, I think they said they have, like, 130, like, extinct species of plants there that they have seeds for that they can grow.
Yeah.
But it's not to a point where we need them. So they haven't ever released them or remanufactured them.
They're just
them,
making sure that we always have
them. We have them. If we ever needed them for anything specifically, we do have them. And I would like to think that they do the same thing with human genetics. Like, you see people out there that are just, like, bolt beyond God, like, that are just built like heroes. And then you see people that are so genuinely smart, like Stephen Hawking and Albert Einstein, that are just blowing people out the fucking gate with how genuinely genius they are. I would think that they keep a genetic code for that, knowing, hey, these kind of people are the ones that succeeded or were alpha compared to other humans. So if we ever needed more alpha humans, we have ways to make them.
Can you imagine if we just had like a world full of people that were built like Dwayne The Rock Johnson that were as smart as Stephen Hawking?
Oh my God. I don't know why we don't now. Why don't they just start killing people off?
Like,
I
mean, if a we group would of die. Those people came in, they were like, this is what you need to be viable. I'd be like, oh, I guess take me out because I suck.
Yeah, because we're not going to be that. And I think that's something that in like super, super futuristic, we could end up being like that, where like Earth is known as a place with big ass dudes that are super fucking smart.
It was like, this is just the barbarian genius planet. Like,
yeah. Once things hit the fan and shit goes over and it's no longer like government over government over government on the world, whenever the world is completely fucked and things go south. It's just a bunch of
badass superhuman athlete freaks with huge brains.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see a world like that.
I would too, even though we wouldn't survive in it.
Yep, but I'm thinking of the greater good. So we're going to go ahead, speaking of aliens and all kinds of shit like that, we're going to jump right into some conspiracy theories. All right, Austin, why don't you tell us in your world of conspiracy and possible truth, what's something you're thinking this week?
Something I've been thinking about this week is that NASA went ahead and let out saying that by the year 2030, we're going to reach climates from global warming that we will never be able to come back from. So after 2030, the Earth will be on a downward spiral for us to die.
So we got 12 more good years.
12 more good years of Earth what it is. Not that Earth will die at 2030, but that will be on a downward spiral from then on. So we could have a good 10 to 50 years after that, but Earth will start dying after 2030.
So we'll get to a point where only literally the strongest are going to survive.
Yes, once it starts getting to the late years. I think nothing will change.
Unless we can develop some sort of technology that like inhibits us to survive in a world like that.
Yeah, and that could always happen, but I don't see like any advancements for global warming as a person to do anything. I think as a community, as like a world, we could work towards helping global warming and stopping our production of plastic and bad like greenhouse gases into the earth, ruining our ozone layer. I think there are things we could do to work against that, but I don't think we're actually going to, because, you know, that doesn't make money. And corporations only give a shit about money.
But if the world ends and we all die, then nobody's left to make money.
Right. Those are the people who are going to die once after 2030 happens and like things start going south and like, let's say 2040, 2050, when things start going south and we're running out of resources and things start dying, we're unable to produce the like the demand, that's when those people will be died off. And that's when you're going to start seeing more people who are able to adapt to horrible situations and bigger people that are able to kill and like fend for their own. That's when you're going to see that. It's going to be like a Mad Max type of situation when you're getting to 2050 and 60, where things are running slim and it's based off of survival and...
That's one of the reasons that I keep a lot of guns on me.
Me too.
Because if the world gets to a point like that, I would never use it just in basic, everyday type situations that we live in today. But in the next 40 years, the world could be vastly different from where it is today.
Right. So what I'm thinking is, instead of working on making it better, what if for the next 12 to 40 years, we just said, fuck it, and just started partying hard as fuck. And just doing crazy shit all the time, not giving a fuck. 4th of July's every goddamn day. Let's start shooting off fireworks.
And then we would only have like 5 years left.
Yeah, let's just speed this shit up. Let's just
pick it up and see what happens.
Yeah, like if it makes it to 2030, that puts me at 34. I'm gonna want to be dead already.
Yeah, I mean, we're currently pretty close to that already.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and just... Let's wrap this shit up.
Let's just keep it moving.
Let's not die out like, oh no, we don't want to die.
Let's not delay the inevitable.
Yeah, let's go. You know what? Fuck it. We're going out with a goddamn bang and go out on a bang.
Legitimately. Speaking of things that went out on a bang, my conspiracy theory is that we've been through this before. Humans actually originated on Mars. And we fucked that planet up so much. You know, we find water on Mars and some bacteria and other living organisms that are there.
Yeah.
I think we occupied that planet once before, and it ended up getting glassed by some aliens that were like, these things are fucking crazy. We got to get rid of them. And we sent a pod out, Superman style, like only one survived, even though it wasn't just one. But we sent a pod out with a couple people in it that were going to repopulate another planet to continue the existence of the human species. Those people, Adam and Eve.
Oh, shit.
Their little pod propels all the way to Earth, crash lands, wipes out the dinosaurs, and boom, that is how the Earth came to be.
So you're telling me that you believe that the pod that Adam and Eve came on was able to give such a disastrous impact to Earth that it's able to wipe out the entire populating species of the current planet?
Well, at the time, you got to think everything was like Pangaea. It was all one continent. So it could have been the one that landed in the middle or somewhere around there, shook the planet so much that it broke the continents apart that could have already been just fragilely held together by the tectonic plates, causing them to shift, changing the world as it is, as it was, into the way it is that we know. And that's how everything came to be.
Huh.
And now we're on our way to do it again, so we just need to find either the next planet, maybe it's been long enough since we jumped from Mars, we could go back and terraform it to survive there again, or we need to find another planet to take over and fuck up.
Planet X. That's one that has a relatively close similarity to Earth.
So that's going to be mine. That kind of goes over my conspiracy theories for this week, if it wraps you up. Why don't we get into some simple thoughts that you might have every day? Let's jump into some shower thoughts.
Shower thoughts.
Shower thoughts. All right, so this week's shower thoughts brought to you by Reddit.
Ooh.
Because that's where I got them from.
Reddit, a non-paying fucking advertisement.
Yeah, but that's the website where I got them, so I thought I'd shout it out. This week's shower thoughts, we're going to start off with this first one. We are ready to waste about 30 minutes a night watching random bullshit, but then in the morning we beg for 10 minutes more to sleep.
You know what? I've actually dealt with that one, like, daily, because, like, before I go to bed, I go to the bathroom and I sit on the toilet for about 45 minutes and watch just stupid YouTube videos.
Yeah, and it's like when you're awake, you want to continue being awake, but then obviously when you're asleep, you just want to keep sleeping.
You don't value your time when you're awake.
Yes, but then when you're sleeping, you're like, fuck, I'd much rather just be asleep because it reminds me of being dead.
Yeah. Yes, it reminds me of the grasping cold darkness of death.
The next one I got here is, when we discovered fire, we basically became the mages of the animal kingdom.
Yeah, because we were the first people to discover an element that we could bring apart on our own.
Yeah, like, it was like the new Jungle Book remake when it's like the red flower, like it devours everything. They were like, the man, the people, they can create this thing that fucks up everything.
Yeah, we could just literally burn shit, and we were able to start devouring meat, like, way better. We were able to start, like, killing things, taking them, cooking them, to where we could eat and then stimulate our brains and our body to where we can take in different types of nutrients and further advance ourselves.
Yeah, so not only can they just kill us, but they can do all this shit, so now those of us that they probably couldn't eat before, they can use this fire and eat us now.
Yeah. So we just kind of just really took over the kingdom. Really, that's probably the point that humans became.
Fire's like the ace card for us.
Yes. That's when we became like top of the food chain. Whenever we were like, hey, we can make shit just burn. And then we took over.
The same people that question millennials' intelligence are the same people that fall for pop-up and telephone scams.
They're also the same people who ask millennials to help them whenever they click on pop-ups and all that shit.
Can't figure their shit out.
Then their computers get viruses and their phones fall apart, and we're the ones who have to fix it all.
It's not really a lack of intelligence, it's just we know different shit.
Yeah, it's just a different time.
Millennials don't know how to fucking put horseshoes on horses and take apart a car, because back then a car was all mechanical and now it's mostly computerized and we know how to do that kind of shit.
Yeah, so it's a different type of, like, I wouldn't say like a different type of mindset. I would say it's a different type of properties that we all learned. So like, if you're born in the later years, you're probably more of a hard knocks, use a wrench, do shit kind of guy. And now it's more like, no,
We just want to make podcasts.
Yeah. I can sit behind a keyboard and program shit. I don't have to use tools.
Yeah. Next one we got is most people spend more time looking for a good porn to watch than they actually spend watching it.
You know,
I have my times where I just like find one quick and click it. But then other times it's like, man, I want to find one that just really gets my rocks off.
You know, I'm on the fence on this one because like sometimes it depends on the situation. Like if I'm like I'm ready to masturbate, I'm going to go ahead and go to the homepage and find something that looks really appetizing. And I'm going to choose that one. But if I'm like, meh, I guess I could masturbate right now. That's when I like scroll the most and I'm like picky and like kind of a dickhead to myself. Like, why would you watch a gangbang with three dudes and one blonde girl when you could watch two girls and a guy and they're like slapping his knob for 20 minutes? Like, it, like there's a difference between I need to go right now and
I need to jerk off right now and I'm just killing some time.
Yeah.
Your social security number appears somewhere in pi.
Yeah, because it's a forever infinite number, so at some point, your social security number is inside pi. So really, are we all just pi?
People in general are pi.
Does pi really mean...
I'm going to start calling us pi-ple.
Does pi, P-I-E, really mean that pi is everyone?
I think that's a very good chance.
So we're all just...
Pi is people.
Pi is people. We're all
We're copywriting that. That's a future t-shirt idea.
Yeah.
In 500 years, there will be digital archaeologists who go through endless old data and old user accounts, finding all the fucked up shit that we made, watched, and looked up today. So like how we go through pyramids and old tombs and stuff like that. In the future, archaeologists are going to be people that just go through like, look at this fucked up guy I found on this Facebook thing that they used all these years
ago. Oh, yeah. So they're going to look at like the internet as we did land.
Yeah.
Because it's a new venture for them to explore. So like something like this, like a podcast like this, like say this podcast dies. Say we never get a lot of people and it just dies out. They're going to find other podcasts, but they're going to keep looking for them. Like, oh, what else was out there? And they eventually come across ours. Like, look at these people. So many people tried. So many people did it. So many people were.
We could be the Van Gogh of the podcast community and we just don't get famous. And then in the future, they're selling that shit off. The guy that finds it just sells the little bit of data that we have saved on our, you know, hard drives. And it's like, oh, I have one of the Inside the Pocket podcast episode 17.
Right.
Well, I have episode 1. Oh, shit.
That so it could expensive. Be like a real, like a collective thing.
Yeah.
Huh. I never really thought about that's the internet as like that, like a place to
you
voyage.
Know how much shittier, though, like an Indiana Jones movie would be if it was just like
people sitting on a computer
sitting on
clicking.
Computers like Marvin Lewis, data archaeologist. And the
a data archaeologist. I wonder if that's like a profession yet.
Like right now, we
like
can
right
already
now,
do
like
that.
If there's somebody who does go through archives on the internet to find shit.
I bet they do, because already you think about how big the internet is. It's gonna have so much fucking data.
I want to be that. I want to do that.
If anybody's looking for some data archaeologists, hit us up.
Yeah, we'll definitely just quit our jobs if you want to give us like $80,000 a year. Maybe $90,000 a year to just fuck around on the internet and find shit that's lost or
and
maybe you
podcasts.
Just didn't know about and make podcasts about it. We'll totally do it.
Yeah. If you were to eat your tongue, you wouldn't know what it tasted like.
Not true. Because if you bit off the tip of your tongue, you could taste it with the rest of your tongue.
That's also very
also,
true.
If you roll your tongue like
yeah,
I can
but
do.
What if your mouth was so flooded with blood that you couldn't taste it? You'd have to like
can you
cut
not
it
roll
off.
Your tongue? You can't taste your own tongue?
I taste nothing. I have a tongue piercing, though, too, so it kind of blocks it.
So I can taste my own tongue. Like, what I'm going to do this. Like? This is really good podcasting, but watch this.
But can you really taste it?
Yeah. It tastes like, it just tastes like a raw meat. It tastes like a metallic taste, and it kind of just has whatever I last ate on it.
And you would think when you make out with people, like, whatever their tongue tastes like, yours is probably going to be pretty similar.
Yeah, and I brought that up. I tasted that, but I wouldn't really, like, know what to classify the taste as. I'd just call it a tongue.
A tongue.
So
skin.
Like,
wet skin.
Yeah, wet skin. If it's not cooked and seasoned, it really doesn't have, like, an actual taste, but yeah. It definitely has a taste.
Yeah. The last shower thought we have for this week's podcast is there were definitely people in the Harry Potter universe who who had wands up their asses and vaginas.
So you're telling me that there's definitely people who masturbated with their wands.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there were, like, magic tricks to, like, do you think they had spells like to make their dicks harder? Like a guy could
stick his wand up one of the girl's twats and be like, Orgasmanus or something.
Yeah, that's probably a thing. Do you think there was, like, a penis enhancement spell?
Like?
Enlargis erectus?
Cocceus enlargis.
Cocceus enlargis, yeah. That could be one.
Or, like, girls would be banging their guy, and then they just slip it up his butt, and they're like, prostatus ticklus. It's like, whoo.
Yeah, tickling no, the that's old probably walnut. A thing. It's weird to think, because did you know that actually on the DVD versions of, I'm trying to think of which one it is, it's one of the Harry Potter movies, when the ending credits is the map, Mardar's map, where it shows all the footsteps.
Yeah.
There's a part in it, in the ending credits, where it shows 2 feet. And the other ones lift up and go back down like they're fucking.
Oh, nice.
It shows 2 feet. And then the other two, like, appear and disappear around it. Like, the girl's, like, up on something and he's fucking her. And every time they thrust, like, her feet touch the ground and then go up and then touch the ground and then go up and touch the ground and go up. Like, she's, like, sitting on a shelf. It's a real thing. It's on the DVDs. You can watch it.
Probably have to find that.
Yeah, I'll find out which one it is specifically, and I'll let you know. But I did actually see a thing about that. So there were definitely kids fucking in Harry Potter world. Also, if you got to be in the Harry Potter world and you were fucking someone, would you use magic while you were in bed, or would you want it to be natural?
I mean, I feel like I'm a fairly good natural sex provider.
Not me. I'd be using magic all day long. I'd be making sure that they're exploding from the insides. I would make sure that after I came inside them, I do the fetus deletus. I would make sure that I have a lot of things going on so I wouldn't have kids, and I'd definitely give them a good time.
All right. Well, that's good to know. I'm sorry that you're not good at sex, apparently. But one thing we are good at is drinking and reviewing beer.
Absolutely we are.
And that's what we're going to do next. I'm not made for paving long roads. Ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer. As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrel's Tap House and Grill in O'Fallon, Missouri, at the corner of Highway K and Highway N in O'Fallon, Missouri, right behind AutoZone. This week's beer that we're reviewing is Fitz's Hard Root Beer by O'Fallon Brewery. Fitz is a soda company. They have a nice little place right there off Del Mar in St. Louis, and I guess they partnered with O'Fallon Brewery for this one. I'm not a huge root beer fan, personally. But it's not terrible, and for an alcoholic version of root beer, it's not too bad.
I tell you what, I would actually say that this bottle immediately reminds me of, like, when I was younger and we would go to the Pizza Plus in Winfield. It looks just like the root beer bottle that was sold at Pizza Plus.
Yeah.
And when I first grabbed him, I was like, oh, this is by O'Fallon. I didn't think anything of it. And then I looked at the bottle and it has the Fitz tag on it. I was like, oh my God, it's the same people. So it probably actually has Fitz's root beer in it.
Yes, I'm sure Fitz makes the root beer. O'Fallon Brewery takes some of their stuff and adds their little bit of magic. And now you got an alcoholic root beer, which I'm not a huge root beer fan, but if it's going to get me drunk, I can drink some of it.
Yeah, and I am a root beer fan. I'm a big fan of the Not Your Father's root beer. That's actually my favorite one of the root beer brandage. But I do like O'Fallon a lot, so I grabbed this one specifically to try out for today.
You do got to make sure, because it does look like just a regular root beer, so don't give it out to any of the kiddies.
Yeah, don't give it to the kiddos, because it definitely does have the soda branding on it, and it says root beer right across the front of it. But it does say hard root beer.
And it's 5% alcohol by volume.
Yes, it is really good. It does taste just like root beer. I can hardly taste the alcohol in it. And me, as a root beer fan, I would go through a 6-pack of this and minutes. Like, I could throw this down easy. If they made this in a 2-liter bottle, I'd be having floats with it. It's a really good beer, and I'm a big fan of it in general, and I also like most O'Fallon products, so I really have nothing bad to say about it. I know you, not being a root beer fan, you're gonna have a different type of take, but I'm already ready to give it my number review.
All right, well, let's hear it.
I'm gonna give it a 7.3.
7.3. Well, that's not too far off. You're probably going to be shocked with my review, because being somebody that doesn't typically like root beer, I do like it as an alcoholic beverage, and I imagine somebody that does like root beer is going to give it a pretty good review, as you just did. So me, myself, Fitz's Hard Root Beer by O'Fallon Brewery is going to get a 7.2 for me.
Wow, look at that. We're pretty much on the same train just about.
So an average score of 7.2.5.
Yeah.
So that wraps up our podcast. Be sure and check out Barrel's Tap House and Grill, the Vapor Store, our amazing sponsors. Check out Fitz's Hard Root Beer by O'Fallon Brewery and give it a drink. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Yeet!
Inside the pocket of a clown. Is a sad place to hang around. Just watching smiles turn into frowns.